But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" And he answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." In the name of the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Just like last Sunday's gospel, this Sunday's gospel follows the faith journey of an unnamed individual. If you recall, last week Jesus engaged in a challenging, revealing, and life-changing conversation with a societal outcast, a Samaritan woman gathering water at the well. And like the Samaritan woman at the well, the blind man we hear about this week is no longer the same after his encounter with Jesus. Jesus miraculously cures his blindness, the one thing that had set him apart from his other villagers and labeled him among the marginalized. And as a result, he must not only adjust to a new identity, not only is he no longer a blind man, but also his spiritual eyes are opened as well, and he gradually comes to believe that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah. Both of these Gospels involve water imagery. The Samaritan woman was promised living water, and the blind man must wash in the pool of Siloam, a name meaning one who has been sent. Jesus is the one who has been sent by God. To wash in these waters is to be baptized. In some churches today, throughout the diocese, they wear rose-colored vestments. Sometimes in churches today, like we have, they also have beautiful pink or rose-colored flowers at the altar. All of this comes to symbolize the anticipation of Easter and this new birth through baptism, this new life in Christ. It was on this day in Lent that the catechumens, the people who were seeking to be baptized at the Easter Vigil, these new converts to the Christian faith, when they were decked with roses and when roses were mutually exchanged as anticipation of this glorious event that was to come. The word baptism means illumination, means giving new sight, and it's something to be joyful about because baptism is spiritual enlightenment by which we come to see that Jesus is Lord and that we too worship him. So these two Gospels are appropriate for the final weeks of this catechumenate season, otherwise known as Lent. They are a reminder that faith grows gradually and is expressed in baptism and then leads to worship. We read that the blind man's journey to faith is difficult. The darkness that he has experienced is all he has ever known. Born blind from birth, he has never known what it means to see light. And yet, after one brief moment in his life, this life-changing encounter with Jesus, he is physically cured and he can see for the first time. And his cure is apparently complete and instantaneous because we are told he went and washed and came back able to see. But according to modern medical knowledge, this was a cure of incredible magnitude because people who have been born blind from birth who had their sight restored are known to have difficulty functioning with their new sight. Their other senses, particularly their hearing and their touch, have been finely tuned to compensate what they cannot see. So when their vision is experienced for the first time, there are often problems with depth perception and identification. It's one thing to identify a cup or a plate when it's in one hand, but it's quite another one to be able to transfer that tactile information into visual identification. But for the first time in his life, he's able to see those around him, who now begin to question his identity. Is it really the same man we have known all these years who was blind? It can't be. But yes, it is the same man we have known all these years, and yes, he can truly see. But there is more going on in this passage than just the instantaneous healing of physical sight. This man begins to gradually recognize Jesus' true identity as we read through this gospel. He begins by seeing only the man that was called Jesus, and then he identifies him as a prophet. And as the arguments pick up with the Pharisees, he becomes more insistent, and he identifies Jesus as from God, and then the Son of Man, and finally the Lord whom he worships. Jesus as the one true light, the light of the world who has given him sight. So what is the meaning of Jesus' action in this? Surely one of great significance, since the man whom Jesus touches receives more than just his sight. In one instant, we see the power of Jesus and his divinity, and we also see his strength of his holiness. The only reason for his mixing the clay with the spittle and smearing it on the eyes of the blind man was to remind us that he who restored the man to health by anointing his eyes with clay is the very one who fashioned the first man out of clay. And that this clay, that is our flesh, can receive the light of eternal life through the sacrament of baptism. This man not only received his sight, but he received an understanding of who it was that was his creator, who it was that he is to worship. So I say to you, what is it among all of us, it's such a diverse group here today, what is it among us that defines who we are? It obviously isn't our sex, or our race, or our income, or our physical abilities, or our intelligence. We are all so different. But we are all as one because we are defined at baptism as Christ's own forever. When I baptize someone and I anoint them with the Holy Chrism, I say to them, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. Despite any differences among us, in any way, shape, or form, we are all one in the body of Christ. And just as initially exposure to physical light can make it difficult to see, we need to be able to adjust our vision until we are comfortable seeing spiritually, until the image becomes clear as to who Jesus is. It is God's truth that is the light by which we find our way into the world, into the kingdom of God, and into community with each other. As with last week's story about the Samaritan woman at the well, there is no simple finish to the sermon. But I think that's part of the point that these stories leave with us. They go out there into the world with us as we leave this church. The turning point of the story may be when the man born blind receives his sight, but it may be also, however, when he confesses his faith as a result of his newfound sight. Many Christians, including John Newton, that slave trader turned abolitionist and composer of Amazing Grace that we just sang, have been inspired by the man's confession of "one thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." Jesus still comes to those in need to grant sight, faith, and life to all who ask. So here, in this fourth week in Lent, this fourth Sunday, let us take these questions with us as we go out that door about living the Christian life this coming week. Where have you felt blind in your life? Not physically, but spiritually. And where have you experienced a sense of new sight, of new life, and a new chance to be the person that you've been called to be by God? Think about those things that this week. Ponder them in your heart and ask God for clarity. And I pray that God will give you also the blessing of additional insight into who he is and how much he loves each and every one of you. Amen. Amen.